Hello. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 137. I'm your host this week, Will Wilson. Why are you laughing? We haven't started.
You're the host every week.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. I'm the host again. with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
Hello, how are you?
He's a man. That's it.
Should there not be like a some sort of extra bit after that?
Nope. That's sort of all the song.
Buffing up.
Sadly, I think I know pretty much all the lyrics to Goldfinger, but I'm not going to sing it for you. It's been a great week so far, for me anyway. I've got myself a new TV, new Xbox, new trainers.
I saw you.
You didn't see nothing. I had a hood on. So lots of riots in cities that most of us don't live in. Well, one of us doesn't live in. The other two do. In Manchester. Nearly outside Keith's store.
Keith's vigilante twittering.
Not even nearly. Just right outside my door. I've never been so scared. Yeah. It's all right. I had plenty of glass bottles to throw them out the window because I recycle a lot. So, you know, I'm prepared.
Okay. Right. This is also a momentous week because it's the final week that I have to do the Sonic and Sega advert.
Oh, no. How did you do it last week? I missed this.
I was really tired. So I can't remember. Oh, first one I just sped up and the second one I did a little tune. With auto-tune. No, not auto-tune. I used vocoder. What was that? You broke up.
What are you going to do this week?
While I was looking for songs last week, I found one which would fit with this voice, so I'm going to do this one.
Hey, baby. Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing.
That's terrible. wait, I'll just do it normally, and then I can pitch shift and change it around.
Hey baby, Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing just launched for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Oh yeah. Help Sonic celebrate his 20th anniversary and get this awesome app today. In Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, your favorite Sega characters, they come together to battle it out in an adrenaline-fueled race. To the finish line.
I'm going to do some pitch shifting.
Let's hope so.
Of course, it won't work otherwise. So let's go cracking on to the news.
News!
First up in the news this week. I should have a theme tune there. It feels like I should. Anyway, first up in the news this week, Ridiculous Fishing and Ninja Fishing. The fight. It's Clone Wars, but a bit better than that rubbish Star Wars film. Rubbish film. Okay, so let's do a bit of background information. Last week, Ninja Fishing arrived on the App Store, which we did briefly talk about. Last week, didn't we, John?
We did mention it was a bit of a copy, didn't we?
Yes.
But it's been successful, so that's raised the ante a little bit.
Yes, it's done very well. So, well, at least it's in the top 10 charts. But yes, it's inspired by Flash game Radical Fishing. But to be fair, it does look a lot nicer than Radical Fishing. Anyway, so yes, it's basically the same game. The developers of Radical Fishing are actually making Radical Fishing for the iOS called Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
So, and there's been a bit of a exchange of words.
Well, we're not really sure it's been an exchange of words, is it really?
We've had an email.
I see. Yeah.
Basically, the makers behind Radical Fishing. It is
Game Noughts
did Ninja Fishing.
Fishing.
Yeah. Vlambeer. Yes. Flambeer did radical fishing. Yeah. And they emailed us and told them that they did actually contact the guys behind Ninja Fishing to try and get them credited in the game, which didn't happen. Delay the release so they could release Ridiculous Fishing at the same time. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then they then offered a revenue share that was never specified. But it's not about the money for Flambeer. It's about their IP, I think. But, of course, this is a big old can of worms to use a fishing...
It's a can of worms, yeah.
Fishing thing.
Bang grade in it.
Because we've had quite a few games in the App Store which are based on Flash games, haven't we, Keith?
Yes.
You might remember one of them. You reviewed it and gave it an 8. I cannot believe you gave that game an 8. It definitely deserved a 9.
What are we talking about?
Although that's different because Angry Birds was a change of theme. I mean, if you're just using the gameplay, you know, I mean that's not really copying, is it? I mean, the thing about Ninja Fishing is it's such an odd type, you know, Radical Fishing was such an odd game in terms of what you were doing that's just an obvious steal, and it's obviously not even changing it to Ninja.
It did make the graphics a lot nicer.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It has that whole kind of diagonal kind of look.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No. but of course, this opens up the question, should a game that's a clone of a game that hasn't even been released on the platform be necessarily put down if the game itself's good? Because from like word of mouth, because I haven't played it yet, it's meant to be good, is Ninja Fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So does the developer deserve to be lambasted even though they made a good game?
Well, no,
you can make a bad clone or something.
Yeah,
it takes quite a bit of skill.
But if you obviously just steal something completely, you know, if you just steal an idea. I mean, the wider issue is obviously the only way you can legally stop it is effectively to go around trademarking stuff.
Yeah.
Or patenting stuff, which you can do, but that's obviously frowned upon even more. So
it was that whole tower defense thing.
Well, yeah, and the whole that's very messy, and games guys don't really do that. So I don't know. It's kind of weird that it seems that the GameNaut guys are kind of like last night. There's on Twitter they were going on about, oh, this isn't the whole story and blah 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 blah. So but I think they are probably a bit embarrassed about it. But equally, it's kind of when you're suddenly making £100,000 a week or something, or you know, it's kind of, and obviously they're not going to be sued. It's not like illegal or anything. So maybe it's just better to keep your mouth shut and take the money. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there we go. So, some people are saying don't buy Ninja Fishing because it's a clone. Others are saying it's a good game. So it's up to you, listener, what you want to do. What do you want to do? I think you want to hear about Theme Park and Battlefield 3. Because we've heard from EA that both games are coming to iOS probably later this year. But they're both going to be demoed at Gamescom next week.
Battlefield's coming out with the Battlefield game.
Oh, yeah, almost certainly, yeah. Well, no, not almost certainly. The last time Bad Company came out, it came out like 4 months after the...
Yeah, no, but that's all.
Oh. Yeah. All right, okay, fair enough. I didn't know that.
Anyway.
Well, never mind.
You said it.
Okay, it's coming out with Battlefield 3.
Don't get all indignant with me.
I'm getting indignant. Theme Park, though. You didn't know about that one, did you, John?
I didn't care about it.
Oh, what?
It's Theme Park. We get a Theme Park. So I mean, it's
amazing.
Like Park,
it's a great game.
Yeah, it's
I'm a Roller Coaster Tycoon fan myself.
It's like 50 years old.
It's not 50 years old. It's like 20 years old. Almost. But it's still a great game. Well, it's still a good game.
Yeah, I'm not a big retro games guy. I feel like, you know, if I played it 20 years ago and enjoyed it.
If the game is fun, John, then why should you care about its age?
Because time's moved on.
But if it's still fun.
And you can play it on other formats.
Yeah, like the Saturn.
I have a Saturn. I have it set up.
All right. I don't think it's on the Saturn, though. I think it's just PlayStation.
It probably is. That kind of, I can see it. I might even have it. I think actually, I'm sure like Theme Hospital or something is actually.
I remember Theme Hospital was definitely on the PlayStation as well.
I think I might have it. I have a whole load. Never mind.
Anyway, Theme Park. I'm really looking forward to it because I really like Theme Park. Although, as Keith said, Rollercoaster Tycoon is slightly better.
Not even slightly better. It scores better.
All right, yes, it is a lot better, but
still, I'd hate to have to control like Rollercoaster Tycoon 3 on a touchscreen, to be honest. So.
Yeah, you would. Also, a bit of trivia for you here, guys. The music in the Arabian themed carpet, which goes up and down, you know, one of those swinging rides. The music from that is the music that's then used in Magic Carpet, which came out a year or two after it.
Do you know, I was about to say what those rides are called.
Really? I was about to hum the music.
They're called Magic Carpets.
Yeah, but there's one at Chessington or Alton Towers, which is a pirate ship. I think they closed that down actually because it was terrifying.
Yeah, the one at Chessington was the Magic Carpet. I think they had one at Alton Towers that was something else.
Yeah, it's a pirate ship. It's a huge pirate ship, and it was absolutely terrifying. I could do all of the normal roller coasters, go on that thing, and it's like, what the? This is really scary. And it kept throwing all the people who went on it off. Like, not literally throwing them off. But, I mean, you get on there and you think, oh, it's going to be a nice, pleasant ride. It's a nice cool down. I'm just eating, because there's loads of eating places around.
Never eat at the theme park. Run from ride to ride. I never get time to eat.
Talking of pretty good. Actually, that's not pretty good. Talking of pretty... Angry Birds has branched out again.
Pretty.
It's going to sound dodgy in a second once I say what it's branched out into.
You got your own taste, you know, it's fair enough.
I've linked it to the wrong story, I think, yeah. Damn it.
Yes, you have. I always find that amusing. What story is this? Oh, it's not. It's a big app stalk. Oh, I see. That's not as good as randomly picking up a story from 5 years ago, but you know.
No, that was good. Where is it then? Where's the actual story I'm looking for here?
We don't need it. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, baby wear.
Talking about baby wear.
Yeah, baby wear. Pretty baby wear. I'm sounding even more. Frightening than I normally do.
Yes,
so they're branching out into everything now. What have they got left?
I'm sure they'll find plenty of things.
Car insurance.
Car insurance.
It'll happen. You'll see the advert. It'll make a jingle and everyone will do it.
Yeah.
Well, we had Mike playing the board game, didn't we?
Oh, yes. Mike had to sit through the depressing board game. Last week.
Who are Swaddle Designs, though? Is this an American thing? Because I've never heard of them. Not that I go around looking at baby clothes, but having, you know, much love for mother care, I've never heard of Swaddle Designs before.
They're the biggest name in baby clothes.
Are they really?
Yeah.
You
can't go through a designer baby clothes shop without running into Swaddles.
But
it is a really weird thing, isn't it? I mean, it's not.
I can see someone. I imagine people are approaching them rather than them approaching people.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no, I'm sure.
And they're just saying yes. I can't really see the logic in this one. But I suppose they're thinking, oh well, the more people see it, the more they kind of get used to it, and mothers might want to play it. I don't know.
No, well, I mean, I guess it's partly that so many people are just ripping them off anyway. So there's a certain point where if someone's going to pay them like a reasonable amount of money to do that, and if they don't do it, some Chinese company's going to make blankets with it on anyway.
It's not hard to clone, is it? That really, I can imagine you'll see on like market stalls at some point like fake Angry Bird towels and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, there's lots of Angry Bird like badges and necklaces and stuff that people have.
One thing I don't get about this though, you're talking about cheap Chinese clone. Well, all these angry birds on these images aren't angry. They're all happy.
No, but they've changed it, haven't they? Because it's for babies. So they didn't want to put...
It's just...
Well, this is after they've completed a level or something, isn't it? You know, this is a shot when they're triumphant. Although they're all dead, aren't they? So I'm not sure.
They all sacrificed their lives.
it's a bit of an odd when you think about it too much. Don't think about it, Will.
I mean, to be honest, the whole press release was quite oddly done as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was written
in baby speak, wasn't it?
No. it had all these slightly kind of bird-like puns on it and stuff, like birds of a feather and all this kind of. Like, oh my word!
Did it sound like they just winged it? we're related to that, of course. Vesterbacher, who's
Vesterbacher.
He said that Rovio is no longer a games company. We are now building a next-gen entertainment franchise.
Yeah, I think this is what bothers people. I don't mind how many baby bibs they put their their things on, but I think this is what gets on people's backs. This kind of idea that they're somehow special.
Yeah, stick it to the man.
I don't know what they expect. If you were doing PR for Rovio, you would pull your hair out when they say things like this, because it doesn't matter. These things get reported in text. So he might have said that in a jovial fashion, but every other news site, including ours, is going to put it on the screen as it is, and people will read that as some what are they talking about kind of nonsense again. And
I don't think Vesterbacher says we're building a next generation entertainment franchise as a joke. Vesterbacher's fairly bullish about stuff.
Well, then that's even worse.
it's not a very good joke either. What kind of punchline is that?
It must be weird for the Rovio guys. I mean, not that Vesterbacher was there when they actually launched Angry Birds. He's a bit of a Johnny come lately, a little bit. But you know, anything that anyone from Rovio says now is just going to be, you know, it's just like a headline, isn't it? So they could. I think some of them are, you know, Vesterbacher obviously loves, and he's been put forward as the face of the company. But I imagine for some of them, it's a little bit difficult. They literally can't say anything, even half, you know, interesting, because it just gets taken out of context and stuff. So,
well, talking about context, Julius Stiles has arrived on iPhone. And to be fair, we could put this in the new releases section, but I thought this is an interesting one. It's a game which has none other than Mr. Wesley Snipes in as an economic hitman. That means he only uses one bullet instead of two. Cost saving. He doesn't use bullets when he can, because they cost a lot. But yes, he executes missions. It's episode one, opening moves. Julius is introduced to his team of specialists in Milan. Yeah, but the interesting thing about this one, really, is that it's got Wesley Snipes in it, which wouldn't be normally that interesting, but he's in prison for tax evasion still. So there we go. So
what, did he record this down his phone or something? How did he do it?
Well, I guess it's not going to be in a maximum security prison. It was tax evasion.
So they're letting him out?
I'm sure he's not just sat in a cell.
In visitor hour, they let him go.
Solitary confinement, is he?
Oh,
I don't agree with this. Oh, no.
Keith has gone more right wing this week.
Lock him up, lock away, throw away a key. No contact with any humans, that's what I said.
Yeah, so there we go. Presumably some of the money from the game is going to Mr. Snipes to pay off his taxes. So there we go. Julius Stiles out this week. It's probably going to be reviewed soon. I wasn't playing it, though. So I don't know about it yet.
And he says it's the first of many, doesn't he?
First of many? Oh, yes, because it's episode one.
He's saying he has lots of game ideas. There's just been an interview kind of sent out. So he's saying the quality of his work's going to improve tenfold. Suggest this one's not
he
written.
Is. He is the, mobile Vin Diesel.
Well, I think he's suggesting that he wants, if it's a hit, then obviously he can make a film on it. So obviously, that's what he's
doing. Yeah, very clever. This is a bit
I've never wanted to see a film with Wesley Snipes. And...
Hey, he was good.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's awful.
Blade was good. Demolition Man
is
not.
It's a generic man, is what he is. But never mind.
Well, he's all right. Anyway, what else have we got in the news? You had another story, didn't you, Keith? You wanna,
did I?
Yeah. Oh, no, that was the Angry Birds thing, wasn't it?
I said, what did I say?
It was the Nintendo stuff, isn't it?
Oh, the Nintendo thing, of course. Yeah. Take it away, because I can't load out that link.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not so much as kind of a story as just the ongoing situation of the biggest games company in the world. I guess they still are, probably, are they? Well, I don't know, compared to some of these Japanese ones. But anyway, the biggest original IP company in the world, Nintendo, still not doing mobile phone games. Which, obviously, to be fair, you know, I mean, Activision have done a few, but not very much, and Take-Two are kind of mumbling about whether they want to do stuff or not. But with Nintendo is being Nintendo, it's much more strange, particularly as the Japanese mobile phone market has been massive for years, and so they could have raised a lot of money, and they have, you know, they have I've spoken to people who've spoken to people at Nintendo, and they have looked at stuff in the past. They have looked at whether they're going to do mobile phone games, and they've just decided not, you know, on a board level that they don't really want to waste resources, because they're not a massive company. We always assume there's billions of them there, but they're not that big considering all the stuff they do. So, but obviously with Wii on the way out, and they've got to launch Wii U, and no one knows how that's going to work, and the 3DS has been a bit of a flop so far. So people just, their shareholders in particular, are raising this kind of stuff now, as shareholders tend to do when your company's losing money and their stock price is going down. So they're going, why don't you make some iPhone games? So, I mean, I don't know how much of a story this is in terms of shareholders say lots of different things. Like, shareholders have been trying to get rid of Robert Maxwell from News International for years. But unless you have enough shareholders, then you don't have any power.
So Robert Maxwell?
Rupert Murdoch in whatever, one of those guys.
I don't think the shareholder bit is that interesting, but I think as a wider kind of idea, it's interesting. If only because I suspect the reason Nintendo would say they wouldn't do mobile games is because they would probably say behind closed doors that it's too similar to their own products,
which is not
what they say outside. Well, I think they would probably view it as people would look at it and think, well, if I can get Mario, even if it was a completely different kind of Mario game, if I can get Mario on my iPhone, then what's the point of me buying a 3DS?
Yeah, to be honest, 3DS is currently just Nintendo games.
And really, I think they'd probably also be worried that the people who are calling them to do it in the press would then make a lot of the fact they were as a kind of admittal of defeat if they suddenly decided to start making iPhone games. But it's interesting because as the story that Ryan wrote kind of draws to, is that it's the same kind of argument that people made to Sega before they did stop. But I mean, that came around as the fact that they had no solid money left.
Not entirely, exactly.
I think there is a case to say here that Nintendo, who were 5-6 years ago at the forefront of things, leading the charge, are now looking particularly out of date by not even acknowledging the possibility of heading this way. But I think they would have to. I mean, it would completely undermine their handheld business, I think, if they did it. And so I don't think there's any chance they will.
No, I don't think it would, because you still, the main focus for 3DS is still going to be, you know, fairly large, substantial cartridge-based games that you go to a retail shop to buy. You know, Nintendo have never been big on digital, which is why they've never gone into mobile, I suppose. But they could easily set up a division that's using some of their, I mean, maybe they can use, just start with like Luigi games and, you know, some of the like minor Princess Peach, some of the minor characters.
Pikmin.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, there's stuff they can do there that would be brilliant. Everyone would love it. It would make them quite a lot of money. It wouldn't necessarily need to be the first game to do on, you know, is Mario. And just think, someone like, you know, I don't know, you know, so, I mean, maybe not Sony, but, you know, someone like LG or, I don't know, Samsung or someone. They could imagine them doing an exclusive deal, but
I think they should do it, but I think it will. I think the idea is, I think everyone knows that physical media in terms of games and the handhelds has a time limit on it. And I think people would view it as, if they were to make any kind of mood, whether it was licensing third party to work on their franchises for games on iPhone, I think people would view it as an admission that handhelds are reaching the end and things need to switch over to what are now smartphones. I just don't think they would ever, considering the statements they've made about smartphones, I don't think you would ever even acknowledge that it was a possibility for them, because it would look like to many people as a weakness. And I think it would. I think I honestly think it would hasten the demise of handhelds, because I think Mr. Man on the Street would look and wouldn't care what the size of the game was or whatever. As far as he would be concerned, there would be Nintendo games on an iPhone and there would be no need for him to purchase a handheld. And I think they probably are aware of that.
Well, these are interesting words that you're all saying that you've managed to string into quite interesting sentences. However, we've reached the end of the news section for this week, and we're going to be moving on to the new releases roundabout. This week on the new releases, we're rioting on Warzone Earth, we're flicking soccer balls and
I get told off for talking about Waitrose, and Will gets to have a mini breakdown live on air.
I'll have another go.
I think that was fine.
It's not, well, I'll have another go just in case I think it's too bad.
Who's they?
They being me and my friend. Come here, Laura. It's okay. No, seriously, it's fine. Sit down. Okay, so on the new releases roundabout this week, what's on the side of the bus?
When did it start getting called roundabouts?
I don't know. The bus of games has just gone past. It's out of the window, we could see.
Is it on fire?
That's the console games bus. And over here, though, is the mobile games bus. Look at it. Choo-choo. That's a train.
Choo-choo.
Do we just get on with it?
It's just because you live in Cambridge, isn't it? This is what, you're getting confused between buses and trains now.
Zen Wars, turn-based. It's fast, strategy, puzzle, defense game. I think it's turn-based. Oh no, maybe it isn't.
No, I don't think it is.
It's multiplayer. You play the Chinese, I guess, facing off against the Huns.
Lord Evil's. You're fighting Lord Evil's.
Lord Evil's army, of course. Yeah, okay. There's giant war pandas. Right, anyway, Zen Wars. There you go.
Giant war pandas. Is this based on battles that actually took place in ancient China?
No.
You don't have to flip it over to expose its weak point or anything.
Did that actually happen in ancient wars?
Yeah, only with crabs.
Oh yeah, that I remember that battle. Nyx Quest, that's spelled NYX rather than NICK. Nyx Quest. It's an enigmatic winged girl from heaven who's searching for Icarus, running across a side, what looks like a side-on view, and you got your little wings.
Yeah, side screen. It's originally a Flash game.
Oh,
it's basically like a jumpy platformery type thing.
Graphics look all right.
No, it looks pretty good. Yeah, the controls are a little bit, you know, it's like touch buttons and all this kind of. It's not particularly a great port, I don't think. But it's it looks a bit different. It looks it's kind of 3D background and you're 2D-ing across it in a slightly puzzly, jumpy, moving stonesy type way.
Next one up is Flick Soccer. Looks a lot like another game. And
quite a lot of other games.
It's by the same team, though, that did Flick Golf Extreme, which I quite liked.
It was good, wasn't it, that one? Yeah.
Full fat. Good. Yeah, full fat. So, it's not. I doubt it's going to be a poor clone. I reckon it might be.
Yeah, it's all right. I've played it. It's all right. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. The thing they tried to do is they've kind of split up the I guess to a degree the power and the direction. So you can kind of curve it just by, you know, curving your finger as you go through the ball. Once the ball's kind of in motion, you can then after curve it as well. So you kind of then actually to actually do quite well in the game in some of the more complicated modes.
You have to
hit very small targets. So you have to like fire it in one direction, kind of round a defender, and then while it's in the air, then flick it again to kind of move it back around.
It's quite a lot like the controls from Flick Golf, really, rather than fair enough. Yeah, looks good though. The graphics look good as well. It's got a nice stadium. Although the crowd up in the second tier on this image seem to have all been warped into a black hole.
Okay.
Anyway, Anomaly Warzone Earth. It's second of Chillingo's titles up this week. This is a reverse tower defense game where you play the convoy going through the towers. It looks beautiful. It's also from the PC. It was released earlier this year on Steam. Picked up some good reviews there. It is nice. I've been playing this one. I haven't played very much of it yet, so I won't be able to give you a definitive impression, but yeah, it's pretty good. Riot Rings isn't out this week for obvious reasons. Yes, so it's on our midweek releases, but unfortunately it was pulled at the last minute, or at least not in the UK. You could probably get in the US.
Yeah, they'll probably wait. They wait worldwide. They'll do one go, won't they?
Well, it was out in New Zealand. That's why it's in the new release.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Rugby Kicks. Oh, it's free. Ah, there you go. It's looks another. It's another one of those flick games. It looks like. Doesn't look very good though.
What's he doing?
Well, Neve, picture there.
Yeah, is he doing some kind of pre-match dance? Or
pre-war
something?
Dance.
Pre-war dance.
Yes.
You don't know much about rugby, do you, Keith?
I know when they... No, I don't really.
I would suggest he's an All Black doing his
Well, that's what I was thinking, but then I was thinking there's a score in the top.
He's rubbing his knee. He's got grass on his knee. He's rubbing it off.
Yeah.
It's gentlemen. Gentlemen play the sport.
Yeah.
Pigs in Trees. Pigs in Trees. So this one's from Panvision. Yeah.
Oh, it's actually from Tactile, who was a guy who used to work at Crytek.
Oh, is it?
So yeah, the Danish developer. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a themic reversal of Angry Birds. So you play a pig who's in a some sort of aircraft defending his tree. From birds. I don't know. Hold on.
This is going to confuse kids.
But it's a line drawing game. So basically, you're in this little plane that shoots things, and waves of birds attack you, and you shoot them down, and then get power ups and stuff.
I quite like the video.
It's quite jolly.
Yeah, I think this brand could be bigger than Disney. You know, I think this could be huge.
It's bigger than Mario already.
I want this on baby clothes.
I want it everywhere. I want this to be a whole entertainment franchise. Pigs in Trees. There you go. It's got a very nice cinematic trailer.
The pig's got a piano.
He's got, currently watching it.
He's got a grand piano. Oh, I like the look of this.
Okay, so yeah, that gets our thumbs up. Not played it, but there we go. Candy Boy. Candy Boy. What's going on, Candy Boy? What is going on? It's a match three. It's a match three and puzzle game. Over 100 levels, 4 worlds. You've got to stop candy-hungry worms from destroying your world. It's a match three. Oh, it looks
what
like...
Is it? Oh, it's slightly... Yeah.
It's like Happy Vikings.
Not like a typical match three.
No, it's almost... It looks almost exactly the same sort of game.
Where are the worms?
The worms?
You mentioned about worms.
Yeah, there's worms.
Thanks for that.
It's worms and candy.
Worms love candy, don't they?
They do love candy.
If I ever have any candy around, I always find the room is full of worms within minutes.
That's not because of the candy. Anyway, moving on. Cado. I'm going to call him Cado. C-A-D-O. Rolling ball.
Cado.
Rolling ball game. Where you tilt the world and the ball rolls. Sort of doodle graphics. Again. Got to pick up a star to the exit. It looks all right. It's not very inspiring from the...
It reminds me of something, but I can't think what it is where you've had to do that. There's a platformer, I think, where you're not rolling a ball, but you have to kind of do that. But I can't remember what it is.
Okay.
So it's not much help, really.
Right, well, let's move swiftly on. Save Yami is out this week. You gotta feed a cute little octopus named Yami.
What does it remind you of?
What does it remind me of? Let me have a look. Oh, that's strange. It reminds me of a game called Cut the Rope.
Yeah.
That it looks almost identical to Cut the Rope.
Yeah.
It's got my lord.
Spring. Do you it's make
got
the
it's
rope?
Got an octopus. It's got an octopus.
They can't get away with that.
I mean, can't get away with it.
They can't get away with that.
Police will find them. They're on CCTV.
That's ridiculous.
No, no, they have CCTVs around nowadays.
I might take legal action over this. It's just.
It is a massive globe.
That is a massive globe. It's just, they've not even bothered. They've just.
Well, they have, because you have to draw the rope. You don't cut it.
But the icon looks rather dodgy, if you ask me. That looks like something is swinging into his mouth. That I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's quite slightly.
Whether he's into that. He looks happy.
It's being delivered by what? Anyway, sorry. yes. So what's next on the midweek releases? Sticky HD. We're onto the iPad games now. By the way, it's Click Gamer, so that's Chilingo again. You control a ball of orange goo.
Well, this is sticky, isn't it?
Oh, it's another one of those flinging games of the
We reviewed this. We've done this.
Trajectory.
iPhone. Yeah, but this is the iPad one. This is iPad. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see the review for this. What do we think of it?
It was all right.
All right. Okay.
I can't remember whether I reviewed it for us or for someone else, but it wasn't as good as what it looked like it was going to be. I played it as a preview, and it seemed quite promising, but then actually. During extended play, although this looks a bit more hectic, but I can't remember now. Actually, it got a bit tiresome because the idea is to flick him from sticky wall to sticky wall and bounce him off the hard ones, and the levels got so complex that you really didn't have a clue what you were doing or where he was going.
Next up is Full Deck Hold'em, which looks like an iPad 2 game, because it uses your camera it's an online poker game, but you have a camera, obviously front facing, blah blah blah, and it films you.
Make your poker face. There's no way on earth I would ever play that. Look at you. You have to get dressed.
I know exactly. It's not really my kind of game. Even though I like poker.
Although it's by the guy. It's by Graham Devine. He used to work at ID, isn't it? So, well, he used to work at Apple, didn't he? He was one of their top guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a poker game, it doesn't look bad. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying the whole idea of me playing the iPad when I'm clothed is a little bit alien. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Universal releases Defender of the Crown. Defender. Defender of the Crown. Defender. Defender of the Crown. Defender. It's from the early 90s, from the Amiga. And it's a sort of strategy action RPG. Is it action as well? Yeah, because it's got jousting, hasn't it? I remember this. I played this ages ago when it was first released. So I have barely any recollection if it's any good or not. I remember it was pretty impressive at the time.
It's one of these titles that gets brought up quite a lot and gets remade, but...
Yeah.
I was going to mention it's one that should have probably best left forgotten.
Yeah, a bit like Master of Magic. No, it's nothing like it in terms of gameplay, but I mean, it's one of those
where people... just, you know, they kind of... It. Someone's done better since, amazingly, with the concept.
Moonstone.
Whatever.
Anyway, Defender of the Crown. It's a retro game from the Amiga days. They haven't really spruced up the graphics either. Looks like exactly like the Amiga version.
I'm not sure that's the screenshot. Is it?
Yeah, Mana Mio.
Mana Mio.
Yeah, 2-star review from this reader. It says poor controls. Well, we'll have the definitive review for you later this week. Final release, I think. No, God, no. There's fuck.
No. Are we doing them all?
Okay. I'm gonna zoom through these. Let's Golf 3. That looks good. We liked Let's Golf 1 and 2.
Let's Golf's very good, isn't it? Yeah.
So that should be awesome. We'll have a review of that very soon. Fossil Feast. From Namco, you play a pterodactyl, hunting prey. That doesn't look very good.
I don't know. That's a bit of a bland screenshot. That.
It is a bit of a bland screenshot. Okay, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. Pick Power Kit. What on earth? What's this? It's a new puzzler that pits cats against dogs. Okay. You play a cat burglar, literally a cat burglar, to try and reclaim 60 amusingly drawn captains.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you've got a, the dog's the guard dog, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, I see.
It's like, around without him seeing you.
Oh, I see, where they got the cone, sight cone.
I think that should be banned this week, to be honest. I think that's...
Yep, banned, done. Right, Spacelings. Action puzzler is 100 levels of logic and mayhem. Not really sure what's going on in the video.
It's a bit dark.
It is very dark. It's like the person... Yeah, not really sure what's going on. Anyway, Spacelings, there you go. Julius Stars, we've already mentioned him. And finally, Exitium, Saviors of Vardonia.
Saviors of Vardonia. Knights of Belarandas.
I'm just making up. Anyway.
That is the kind of title I would make up.
Jeff.
Looks nice. Looks
from
nice,
Wrexham.
Oh, I don't know. These kind of games, I see that and I think, oh, no.
Oh, the art style looks all right. It looks like sort of 16-bit RPG. Pretty classic looking.
Yeah, you know me in RPG. So we don't get on.
You once were going out together quite happily, I seem to. Then something changed that night in the Italian restaurant. She leveled up. Anyway.
That's good.
There's four unique classes. They each have their own skills and abilities. They got magic to learn, items to gather. I'm just reading what Anthony's written here, basically. A beautifully rendered world. I think it looks quite nice. But it could be crap. Who knows?
I think that looks pretty bland to me. Never mind. I'm obviously just bitter.
Saviors of Vardonia.
Anyway, enough of that. Let's move on to the What We've Been Playing field.
What we've been playing!
I'm going first. I have been playing this week Need for Speed Shift 2. Got into a bit of a discussion with one of the Touch Arcade, well, Eli.
Can I say, Eli didn't.
Yeah, Eli didn't like it. And neither did their freelancer who wrote the review. I'm guessing freelancer. I don't recognise the name. Anyway, enough about another site. Don't read that review. Read my review. I gave it 9 out of 10, though. I thought it was good. But then again, I really like the original Shift. It is a sequel, so you shouldn't go into... If you didn't like the original Shift, then there's no reason why you would like Shift 2. And if you're expecting masses of changes, that's not going to happen either, because it's still a Shift game. But there's a lot more tracks, a lot more cars. The single-player campaign structure is less frustrating this time around. You get more choices of where you want to win your stars. The handling's still great. The drift is a little bit better than before. It's a little bit clearer. They've included manual acceleration, which is actually really satisfying if you can get the hang of it, where you swipe up and down for gears and you press down for acceleration. See, I'm a sucker for those sort of games because I've got a steering wheel. I've got GT5 on the PS3, and I like that sort of thing. That's good. So, yeah, Shift 2 is about the closest you can get to that kind of ride driving game on the iPhone. It's still arcadey, and there's a little bit... If you upgrade your car too much, you're going to end up just grinding a little bit because you're not supposed to do that. I thought it was very good. I thought as a sequel, it improved in most of the areas where the first one was lacking. But some other people have said, oh, it doesn't do enough. But I don't think that's true. I think it does enough. Pardon?
It doesn't have multiplayer.
So it does have multiplayer. It's just not network. Yeah. I mean, the original had multiplayer. That's one of the areas where it needs to pick up its game on. But the actual driving single player wise, it's better single player than Real Racing 2 because you don't grind all the time. I really wanted to like Real Racing 2 single player, but it is like GT5's single player, but distilled into just endless grind. Whilst you don't have to do that with this one. It's much a bit more entertaining. Mm. Anyway, so I liked it. 9 out of 10, I thought. Bam! And very quickly, I started playing Anomaly. I think it's very good. That's it. I've only reached Mission 6, so I can't really say if it's very, very good or just good. But it's very good so far. Mm. John?
Good. I've been playing... Pigs in Trees. Just had that today. So it seems fairly... not doing anything that extraordinary in the line drawing kind of genre. But
that's how you knew about the line drawing.
Having played it? Yeah, amazing, isn't it? What? Am I just supposed to, like, guess? Just guess? Not supposed to do any research before we do the before we go through these games?
I don't do any research.
Okay. Well, I'm better than you then.
Oh.
So yeah, I wouldn't say it won't change anyone's life or anything, but it seemed fairly reasonable. If they haven't taken enough of the Angry Birds stuff already, all the levels are organized in seasons. So that's the whole Angry Birds season thing. So obviously they've looked at Angry Birds and then tried to play with a few things. So anyway, I've not actually played it yet, but I have just got a version of it because it's not out until next week. But I Blast Mokey 2. I Blast Mokey, which came out years
not
ago.
Not on Windows Phone. It came out like 2 months ago on Windows.
I did it. Okay. Well, it originally came out on iPhone. I mean, I just think it must be at least 2 years ago.
It is old. It's 2009 release.
It's kind of one of these games that not like got into trouble over it, but I think we were one of the first sites to review it because it came from this kind of weird French, not the weird. It came from this kind of star French developer. It came from a small French developer that no one had ever heard of, and somehow we had heard of them. So I kind of got on it quite quickly. It's really nice kind of art style, and it's kind of physics, and you're firing these little guys around. You're dealing with physics puzzles anyway. And I really liked it, but I think we gave it 8, and everyone else was like, this is when we used to get into trouble first. People thought we always gave indie games a lower score. So anyway, they have released another game in the meantime. They released Star Dunk, is it called? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was really good as well, and that's done really well. They've done like 5 million downloads of that, which is completely different. But finally, they come back to I Blast Mokey, which is out next week. So I haven't, as I say, I haven't played it at all yet, but I'm really looking forward to that. And another one, which is from another developer that I've been in contact with, which is called Safari Party, which is a kind of trying to do something slightly different with Match 4. Did you say Match 4? It's Match 3, but you're matching 4.
Yeah, I say Match 4.
Okay. And it's kind of a Match 4 game. So I think with those kind of games, because the gameplay is so familiar, that it's kind of, you have to play them quite a lot to work out if they're doing anything different. And what they tend to do, like certainly what I think they've done here, is they've made it easier. So you're not in that kind of bejeweled thing, that situation. You can always get a match, but it's kind of a case of how the multipliers work and that kind of stuff. So
I'm playing a match for this week as well, but it's.
I do think people shouldn't do match. I mean, I just think it's almost impossible now to do anything.
Yeah.
That's actually going to appeal to an audience more than the kind of obvious games that everyone knows.
Yeah, right? I think also there's far too many Match 4, Match 3 games that, like the one I'm playing this week, it has got a quirky idea, but it doesn't work because of the gameplay of Match 4 games. It just doesn't fit. So it's not really much point. I mean, it's a nice attempt at trying to differentiate itself from the others, but no, it just doesn't work.
And I'm still playing Spaces Key because I like Spaces Key. I'm still not very good at it, but I'll still mention that.
Talking of space, what's this waste of space over here been playing?
I've got 2 weeks, haven't I, really? Because I wasn't here. And the week I wasn't here, I was thoroughly addicted to Jet Set Go, which I carried on playing after I reviewed it, which shows love in my case, because most games I tend to hate. But time management game set initially in a travel agent, and you saw people out. You move them from chair to chair, essentially. You saw them out. So they come in after they've smashed the windows. They come in and they want to look at the brochures. Then they want to book the flight. They want to book the hotel. They want to book. So you move them from chair to chair to chair, and it's really, really swish and really well done, and has the right balance between keeping you on your toes but also not being boring. But then you also have to, I mean, I don't think it's especially realistic, but then you also have to go on holiday with them and serve them drinks and entertain them and to dance.
Yeah.
I mean, those bits are actually, they're weaker in terms of what's required. They're much easier to do, but it is a very nice breakup to an audience. And it has a really nice upgrading, actually. You just upgrade all the chairs and the ticket machines. But
I think, going back to the match four stuff, that's a really good example of how you do, you know, there's all these time management games. And we know there's, you know, the Dino Dash and blah, 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 you know, all the ones that do. But that, you know, actually expanding it in a way and just doing it really well is something I think is a really, really great example.
Yeah, I mean, the whole game feels huge because you move from one estate agent to another, and not each one obviously gets harder. But then you have all these other mini games in between. I mean, there's several. I mean, there are lots, just like serving tables at the restaurant. Another developer would easily have just made a game where you did that, you know, as many have. And because it's perfectly good and it works, but altogether it's an amazing package, and I gave that an 8. I was very tempted to give it a 9, but I think perhaps if they were to look back at it again, they would spend a little bit more time on these extra ones in sharpening up a little bit. They do feel a little bit less on the ball than the main game, but as always, I mean, if you're into time management, they don't really get much better than that. It's a very swish package as well. And I've also been playing this week Desert Quest, which I don't really know how to describe it. It looks amazing. Basically, you control like this silhouette man as he walks around it's like the desert or jungle. And I'm assuming it's a desert, actually.
You mean the desert? Jungle?
Jungle. They're quite easy.
Well, it changes up the first few levels, so it looks a bit different. But the first one's certainly a desert, and it's you basically walled in, and it's kind of 3D. So you move him up and down and around, and he can fire at people with his arrow. It's kind of dual thumbstick kind of thing. And there are various animals around to shoot at. And basically, to get out of each level, you have to find a number of gems on the floor to make spells, which you also have to find the not the ingredients. What's the word? How do you put together a spell?
Recipe.
You have to find the things to tell you basically which gems you need to make these spells, which you then can use to put your health back up or transport you to another part of the level. And then you also have to find keys which open up other parts of the level. And it looks stunning. It's an amazing looking game, but all you're doing the whole time is walking around trying to find things. And once you've done that, you're rewarded with the option of walking around more to find things. And the icons you need to find are so small, and the maps are so big, you're just walking around the whole time, and it's incredibly boring. So that's a real shocker, really. Were it not for the looks, I wouldn't have even played it beyond a few minutes, because it's just, there's no game there, really, and it's a shame. But it looks, if anyone, you look at the trailer or whatever on YouTube, it's a smart looking game, but just a shame about the game itself.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Right. I guess that's it for this this week's podcast.
Have you done your advert again?
Yes.
In fact, you haven't done your advert at all.
No. I did it once already.
You did it. You weren't there.
Right,
you
here.
Oh, I wasn't here. I thought you just stopped and sat in silence while I wasn't here.
I think this final advert we should all do it together.
I don't think so.
One big.
I can't afford to get subject with one particular brand anymore. Not unless, you know, they're paying me.
I haven't thought of a second voice. I was kind of hoping to pop out and have a cigarette while you two have to do it.
You've got loads of voices. Well, you're full of voices.
You just want someone to read it out?
No, I'll do it. if it was a lie. Okay, so
I want you to do it like a lady.
Oh no, that would just be distressing.
Posh lady.
A posh lady. Amelia.
You know, your normal voice.
Yeah, I know. But I can't do that because I've spent so many podcasts doing this fake lower voice. Amelia will have to remain in the
Amelia.
Yeah. She's best to right. Karen.
Yeah, why don't you get Karen to do it?
Oh, I could have got Karen to do it. Damn it.
Where's Karen from?
Dorchester.
Dorchester.
We're not saying she's from Dorchester, are we?
No, she's in the Dorchester Regiment. I don't know where she was.
Yeah,
I think she was born in one of the villages around there.
The villages, yeah.
Why are you laughing at everything, Keith? What's so funny about someone's past?
I've forgotten. It's been 2 weeks. How amusing it is just to listen to you.
Well, thank you very much. But I got something to say to you, Keith.
I can't imagine what it is.
Nothing can will.
I don't know what voice am I going to do. I know. In honor of us going to Germany next week, I'm going to put on my mildly racist German accent.
It's going to be disastrous. I won't let you in.
This is going to be so terrible. Sonic on Sega All-Stars Racing just launched on iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Help Sonic celebrate his 20th anniversary and get this awesome app today. In Sonic on Sega All-Stars Racing, I've gone Italian. Your favorite Sega characters come together to battle it out in an Italian field race. Towards the finish line.
You're Russian.
Yeah, I do not know. I cannot remember my Russian. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast this week, and we hope you have a very pleasant week. We're going to be off at Gamescom next week. So I don't know what's going to happen to the podcast. Are you bringing the mic, John? Plenty of space.
Could do.
You could.
Yeah. Should we do that?
Yeah, right. I could probably hook it up to the netbook. We can do it through that.
Well, yeah, do it on my netbook or yours, yeah.
Cool. All right, so yeah, we're going to have an in-situ podcast recording next week at Gamescom. That'll mean Keith won't be with us.
I'm on holiday anyway. You guys can do what you want.
Yeah, all right, fine. We're going to smash up your windows while you're out. Nick.
Too late.
Yeah, so we're going to do it from Gamescom, probably in the beer garden.
Hey.
I dare you to do your German accent there, Will.
Welcome to like really loud. Welcome to Gamer Podcast. Right, yeah, but that's it. No more adverts. No more songs. No more voices. No more.
You don't know. This might have been such a success that they'll be banging on the door as we speak to hire us for next week and weeks onwards.
Don't say that. I'll have nightmares. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
John doesn't say goodbye.
That was John.
Oh, was that John? Okay.
Nope.
John. Thanks.